Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hello, Christian friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here in another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Pastor Dave Colonen, singer of the Carriers. Remember that bass voice you heard for, 58 years you guys were together? That is Dave Colonen. We're very happy to have you with us, Dave. As usual, you always give us some great inspiration from your life's leadership of singing and preaching over the years, and you've done your share of all of that. And we thank you for being here. But we've been talking about some of the leadership dynamics we find in the Bible and how Jesus taught these things to the people and how he lived using some of these dynamics. And I want to try to see if I can stick with that thought process today, because so much of it, I get comments from our listeners, is so very valuable. We're not a Zig Ziglar or anyone trying to bring you an individual development program. We're trying to tell you what the Bible says about being a better person. And the first issue I want to talk about today, David, is one you'll like. Time management. Boy, I remember years ago, I spent an awful lot of time talking about time management. Very sensitive subject. But did the Bible say things about time management? You better believe it did. You see, time, it's your life. It's your agenda. It's what we're all about. You cannot save time. You cannot collect time. You cannot place it in a special bank vault. You're only permitted to spend it. Wisely or foolishly, you must do something with your time. You will invest it or you will waste it. But yes, your two options. Many people have a hidden agenda. There will be those around you who will try to pull you off course. But there will also be those who are not seeing the big picture, and they will try to draw you into their own crisis of the moment to get you off track. You must be careful to protect your list of priorities. Jesus did, and Jesus was really a time management expert. There is a fascinating story in the Bible about it, in fact. Lazarus, remember the story about Lazarus? He was a close friend of Jesus, and he became ill. Mary and Martha were his sisters, remember that? Mary and Martha, his two sisters, sent word to Jesus to come. However, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days and still in the same place where he was. That's written in John chapter 11, verse 6 that way. Well, Mary was upset. You know, she said, Lord, if you hath been here, my brother hath not died. At John chapter 11. Again, Jesus deliberately delayed his coming. He kept his own schedule. His tenacity held to his agenda. He did not allow emergencies of others to get him off track. You see, he guarded his own list of priorities. Make today count. Remember those 24 golden boxcars? Well, that's an hour for each day. Each of those boxcars is a track of success. If you do not control what goes into each of those 24 golden boxcars, then somebody else will do it for you. Avoid distractions. Write your daily list of things to do. Protect your schedule. This is your life. Make it happen. Jesus certainly did. You know, David, I used, in the old days when I was talking about time management, I would say something to the tune of, there are 86,400 seconds in a day. And what we must do is think of 86,400 as dollars. Suppose you had that. Someone would give you every day, someone gave you $86,400 and said, you can't save it, you got to spend it. Boy, wouldn't that be a nice problem to have?
It would.
What would you do? What would you do if you had to spend $86,400 every day?
That's not even worth talking about, is it?
No.
Yeah, who's going to do that?
That's such a hypothetical question.
I mean,
however, if you convert that to seconds, there are 86,400 seconds in a day, and you must use them all wisely. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the daydreaming occasionally or watching a television show that you enjoy. We're all human. But you can't be wasting an excessive amount of those precious seconds, because that's what life is all about. 86,400 of them a day. What do you think you'll do over the next 30 days to learn some new time management techniques? There's a lot of things. Books and books and books have been written about it. And oh my goodness, we could talk about that subject forever. That's the basis for a whole raft of sermons. The point is, Jesus would not waste time. Jesus would not let people pull him away from his priorities. He knew what he had to do, and there was no emergency that was going to pull him away from what had to be done. He had his own priority list, and he did things his way, and it wasn't any emergency that pulled him away from doing what he thought was the correct thing to do. That's how we all should live, not wasting any time, getting the most out of every possible day. Any thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners on this subject, Dave?
There's always a problem with, in a singing group, you're going to go to a different town Wednesday through Sunday, 4 or 5 days in a row. You're going to go 3 or 4 hours in the afternoon, come pick me up at 1 o'clock, get there at 4 and get ready for service. And when it's over, then we're going to drive home. We didn't want to stay in the road. We needed to be with our families. You take 30 days and you spend 3 or 4 hours every day in that bus going, and then 3 to 4 hours coming home. Mm-hmm. That's like 6 or 7 hours.
Every day.
If you're not careful, you can throw away 8 hours a day just getting to the place where you're going to do your ministry. And we had to learn how to take a book. Thank God for books.
Yeah,
I filled up my library with books. And they are more valuable to me now in my age, even retired, than they've ever been before.
Really?
I'm going back through my library. I found books that I haven't seen in 20 years, but they were there. I just ignored them and said, I don't need that. And all of a sudden, I am finding good things to read. I'm setting my wife down and said, Judy, can you give me 20 minutes? I'm going to read you something. You know, she got her own kind of books. She doesn't like preacher books. She doesn't like, she said, no, you read it and then you tell me. And I said, this is so important. I want to read it to you so I don't get mixed up. And we had that kind of a session today. That's why I'm thinking about it. I had read something good in a book, and I said, sweetheart, would you just sit here? Take 15 minutes. I know you don't like to hear me read out of my books to you, but I'm going to ask you to do that today. She said, okay, I'll give you 15 minutes. Well, when I was done, she said, whoa! She said, my mind is going a million miles a minute. And I have, she said, we could talk for, well, and we did. We talked for over an hour after that about what I'd read. And I said, see what that did? And you wonder, what turns me on? And I read something in a book, and I, where am I going to tell it to? What am I going to say? Where, that was good. Why? And we prayed together about it and said, Lord, help Judy to like what I read.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
I mean, it changes your whole married life.
Sure does, sure does.
We had a great morning. We loved what we were talking about.
Outstanding.
And then when it was all over, I said, baby, that was a great conversation. I said, I felt like I really wanted to say something, and you were the only one around, so you got the brunt of it. And maybe it'll help both of us.
Yeah, sure.
In our ministry here at the church.
Yeah.
We're old. We're pushed. You know, who wants to hear an 82-year-old say something? Who cares?
I want to hear your life story. I want to hear it all.
When you're 82, I said, Judy, she's 81, so we're both there in the same boat. And it was a fascinating, you know, when you've been married for 59 years, what else is there to talk about?
Yeah.
So I got to read something really spectacular that says something that opens up your mind again and opens up your thinking. And boy, I want to do this. And I should have done that. And can you help me get there by coming with me and going here and doing this? We changed our life today.
Mm-hmm.
It's all because somebody was willing
to listen to
you. Take time.
Time, yes.
I'm sure Judy, when she woke up this morning, she would have never thought that we could have taken an hour and 20 minutes. Me to read 20 minutes out of a book and to talk about it for an hour.
That's very heartwarming. Yes,
it did both of us good.
Yeah, sure it did. Sure it did. You're to be commended with sharing with your wife like that. And then you prayed together with it. That, to me, is quite stirring, David. You're a fine mentor for all of us, not just me, but for all of our listeners out there who are hearing this. This is how a fine Christian man operates his life. He's sincerely been married for all these years, and he still tries to touch the heart of his wife every day. Now, is that a good, fine Christian man? Is that a mentor that we might want to mimic in our lives? Yes, David, you are a mentor.
It's a rewarding gift. Try it sometime.
Yes.
You that are listening today, you can't get to a book right now, find one. There's a lot of great books. Call me. Come visit my home. I'll give you a book. Come line up and find something to read that will stir your life, something that will be so powerful that you can't live with it yourself. You have to tell somebody.
Yes, yes.
That turns
that's
me
a good
on.
Book. Yes, that's a good book.
Yes.
Well, let's continue with our thought process. David, you're quite an inspiration to all of us. One of the techniques that Jesus used to inspire others was to ask questions. And he would do that quite frequently. And asking questions that's a sign of another dynamic leader. Asking questions. That's the basis of another half a dozen sermons. Asking questions. Interrogate your world. Insist on listening to the opinion and needs of others. Almost nobody on earth listens to others or questions them. This is a leadership secret of success. Jesus asked questions. Once Simon Peter went fishing. He caught nothing. Remember that? And when morning came, Jesus was standing on the shore. He called out, "Children, have you any meat?" It's written in John chapter 21, verse 5. You see, he assumed nothing. He pursued information. Their answer was his entry point into their lives. He had something they needed. He had information. His question was a link to their future. It was the bridge for their relationship. He then instructed them, "Cast your net out to the right side of your ship, and ye shall find meat." Document the needs of others. Keep a Rolodex if you have to. Keep a notebook of their needs and their desires. Do they really feel you are listening to them? Most employees feel that their bosses really do not hear their complaints. Most employers feel that their employees do not interpret them correctly. You see, Jesus pursued information. Jesus asked questions to accurately determine the needs of the other people. And that's very, 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 very important. I could give you lots of examples to that. People assume wrong. People in leadership roles tend to take the word of one person on their staff. When you get a staff issue and you have 20 people working for you and one person complains about another, you better swallow hard and ask a whole lot of questions before you criticize anybody. Personnel issues are very sensitive. And when they're negative about another fellow employee, now you really have to watch what you're getting into, personality conflicts. Ask questions and find the root or the basis of all of these things. And that's the point of the exercise that Jesus was trying to demonstrate here. How frequently do you ask your staff or associates if they need or they desire something new?
Yeah, but the important thing about it, that is, you got to learn how to be very truthful.
Mm-hmm.
Truthful keeps out the enemy. Tell the truth the first time, and then you don't have to worry about it. And sometimes we hem all around the truth.
Yes.
In our conversation with other people, with church people, with people we're with all the time, you have to represent yourself as a truthful person. You get caught in a lie, you didn't say it right, and, you know, to be believable.
That's the key.
When people can believe in you and you are a believable person, you're going to go a long, long way. A preacher who is believable really can attract a big crowd. When you're not believable, you wasn't sure whether that was right or wrong. You're not going to grow any kind of a church. A staff has to be truthful. You got 10 people running the church instead of just the pastor. The pastor is in charge and he makes the final decision, but truth stands naked.
That's
and
right.
Jesus proved that he was the way and the truth.
Yes, he did.
And the life.
David, you are a very, very wise person to know that. Nothing, absolutely nothing is more important than being believable. In fact, when you lose that, you've lost essence of all the favor from your co-workers, your family, your loved ones, and your success. You have to be believable. You have to tell the truth. Jesus was always the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. John chapter 14. You see, his integrity intimidated the hypocrites. They reacted to his purity. Honesty is a force. It will destroy mountains of prejudice and fear all in a single blow. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? He shall not make it good. Numbers 23. It's an awkward way to say it, but I know what they mean. The idea is that if God says it, it is true, and we have to follow God's way. Jesus always answered everything truthfully. Anything you'd like to add to that, David? You've already hit on the highlights of it, but I think our listeners got the gist of someone who's going to deliberately deceive you is going to be a miserable failure no matter what your occupation might be.
Well, might be a change of subject, but you got to do best every time you get a chance.
Yeah, that's right.
Do what you really love to do, what you love to talk about, what you would rather hear about, what you do with your life. You got to do your best at all times, and your joy is going to be determined by doing what you love. You talked about Jesus going fishing with these guys. He did a lot of things with people, but when he got to his disciples and showed them that they could fill the boat, it was unbelievable. I mean, they talked about that for days, and it wasn't just, Jesus, some people think Jesus just taught 100 people, 200 people. His crowds grew to like
thousands, what? Yeah.
20,000 people.
Yeah.
It fed 5,000 and plus men and women.
Yes.
And I remember when we brought the guy from Alaska here. What was his name?
Jones.
Yes. He went to Alaska and his church only had two people.
Austin Jones. That's it, Austin.
And so he went up there and he's asking God, how am I going to grow a church here? The church is called dead because nobody's been in it for 20 years. The church sat empty. And then he came in, he said, well, what can I do? And he said, while he was thinking about that, he said, I might as well go downtown or wherever they are. He asked him, I said, where's everybody at? They said, well, they're fishing. The ice is covered, and they've taken some machinery out, and they've bored some holes, and the town is fishing. And so Austin said, well, hey, then I might as well go out there. I'll tell them I'm the new preacher. So he went out there, took his line, and nobody had caught any fish. Hey, how many, where are the fish? Well, how many caught it? Nobody, they're not biting today. So he said, well, let me try. And everybody said, who is that? Oh, that's the new preacher. He just came. He's trying to revive the old dead church. And he put his line down, and man, he caught a fish right away. He put his line down 40 times, and he brought up 40 fish. He put it down the same hole where everybody had their line, and no line had any fish.
Is that right? He was the only one.
And everybody said, hey, that's a man of God.
I'll see you Sunday morning.
You're right. We better go to that church. That man knows how to fish.
Yeah.
God is with that guy. Yeah. And, yeah. He's running almost 200 people now.
Is that right?
That's right. He made.
Oh my!
He is a man of faith, and God put him in front of the crowd. To, you know, everybody would have laughed at him. Oh, yeah. You're a preacher.
Yeah, you're going to Nome. You're nuts.
You can't fish. You don't know anything about that. And he didn't know anything about it. They wanted to buy his lure. They're willing to. When they were ordering it from the catalog, where is it?
They wanted it.
Yes. How'd you do that? What are you jerking your line with? You know, what are you doing with your hands?
How did you do it?
No, it's God. You guys need God.
Isn't that
here
amazing?
In Nome. It's a you good need story. God.
We had him on the air here. Was that about 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah. He was supposed to come back, and he comes back, but he's so busy when he comes back.
Hard to get him to come
here. Oh, my goodness. He was near here some time ago, and I made a contact, but he was so busy.
Send him an email every now and then just to let him know we haven't forgotten him.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. He'll come back someday.
Yeah, he will. Yeah, he's a tremendous inspirational person. But you're right. Boy, he was doing what he did best. And that's what we're talking about here, doing what you do, doing what you really enjoy, and staying focused on what is important to you. And it's different things with different people. Not everybody can sing as well as Dave Colonin, but you do something better than Dave does. Everybody does. So do what you do and do it well, and do it for Jesus. Jesus associated with fishermen. Was it Peter, John, James, who was the fourth fisherman?
Peter, James, and John.
And wasn't there a fourth one?
Well, they were probably all there in the boat.
Maybe.
They had the whole gang there.
Yeah, I can't think of it right now. Okay, there probably was a whole lot of them.
They caught 154 fish.
Oh, yeah, I remember that story.
So
yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. They,
the
others brought their boat and said, hey, let us take some of that.
Yep, they threw the net off to the right side of the boat and there were the fish. Yeah.
You have to count things, and it was proof that Jesus believed in counting stuff.
That's right.
Go ahead and count them.
Yes, he did.
Man, how many did we catch?
That's right. Couldn't believe it.
How'd we get on that?
Well, we were talking about doing the things that you do well. Jesus talked to everybody. He talked to fishermen. He talked to tax collectors. He talked to doctors, lawyers, religious leaders. He talked to everybody. But he never wavered from his focus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power of prayer. He who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil for good was with him. Acts chapter 10. Verse 38. You see, Jesus knew his mission, and he stayed focused. I really believe that broken focus is the real reason that people fail. Some people take jobs because they're convenient. We're close to home. One man told me that he spent his entire life working on a job that made him miserable. And I said, hey, why would you take a job that worked at it for all those years and it made you miserable? And he said, well, it was only 10 minutes from my house. Mm-hmm. He said, and then in 3 years, I will receive a gold watch. I don't want to leave too soon and miss my gold watch.
Right.
What you love is a clue of your calling and your talent. Jesus knew this. Stick to what you're good at and don't come up with some frivolous reason to be miserable your whole life. Your gold watch surely isn't worth it. David, once again, our time is exhausted. I'm sorry, I must say goodbye
done?
So
We're
soon.
Finished?
Oh my, our listeners are just now getting intently involved with the inner workings of the heart of Dave Colonin and his team. But we must say goodbye for now. Gift Briner saying so long, see you soon.
Hey, Dave Colonin here. I'll look forward to next week. God bless you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.